This is an interview from the Saturday edition of Woman Today with me, Larice Faree, that airs weekly on Saturdays at 8:30 a.m. South African Central Time on Good News Community Radio 93.6 FM. We are speaking to Hannah Rasmussen, acquisitions editor at Oasis International, a publishing house that is aimed at satisfying Africa's thirst for God's word. So Hannah, what is the mission of Oasis? What do you exist to achieve?
Oasis is all about growing discipleship in the church in Africa, and we do that by publishing African voices. So we're very passionate about the depth and maturity of the church, knowing that the church in Africa is the biggest globally and a leader in the whole continent. And what happens here is what will influence the rest of the church in the world.
Hmm. So who is the audience that Oasis is primarily trying to reach?
We publish for a Pan-African audience, primarily in English, so mostly Anglophone countries will be our primary target audience. And we write to Christians or people who would benefit from Christian literature, who aren't Christian yet, within the continent and make it contextually relevant.
Mm.
But we secondarily also want to speak to the church worldwide, because I think there's a lot that can be learned from dialogue in the global church. Mm. And understanding what God has revealed to different people in their various cultures.
Why does Oasis specifically target Africa as a place to start an initiative like this?
It's a place that doesn't have this kind of publishing effort. So there are a number of publishers that are focused on specific countries. I know in South Africa, there's a strong publishing industry. You know, there is national publishers in, you know, Kenya or in Nigeria or whatever. But for somebody to do a Pan-African approach is really lacking in the Christian publishing area. And we saw that originally when we began, we just saw how much red tape was involved in even getting any kind of Christian literature into countries like Nigeria, where we sort of began solving some of that issue. And then we at some point realized we can't just be importing Christian books from outside that are not as relevant to the needs and issues that are important to address in the church. And we shifted our focus to the Africa Study Bible, where we got over 350 contributors from 50 countries to write short notes and articles and book introductions that helped to apply the Bible to various context around the continent. And from that point, we were able to shift more into having African authors write the books that we then distribute across the continent, because some of the issues are similar enough that it's much more relevant for someone in Ghana to read a book written by someone in Kenya than it is for them to read a book from the US, for example.
Could you explain some of that? What is the importance of the resources that Christians in Africa receive being contextual?
Yeah, I'll give an example of a book that we're releasing right now. It's called Getting Married, Building Your Marriage Before It Begins. And the author, it's a husband and wife team. They had been doing premarital counseling in Kenya for 15, 20 years. And they were using resources that they had from, you know, Focus on the Family or just some other Western resources that they would go through. And as they would get to talking about issues with the couple they were dealing with, you know, questions would come up that weren't in the material, and they would have to kind of improvise. So what do we do about paying bride price? Well, what if we are coming from two different tribes and our parents are not excited about us getting married? What about our family finances? The Western books didn't have things in there about, you know, continuing to contribute toward your parents or your village back home. And then it would even be issues of, like, how do we name our children? Are we going to follow our cultural traditions on how to do that? Or do we want to chart a new path as Christians? And she was getting a little bit frustrated that these materials were not relevant and they weren't helping people navigate the real issues that they had in their premarital discussions. And so she decided to do her master's to research more on contextually relevant premarital preparation, and then came to us and we were able to help turn that into a practical handbook that couples read through together with some fun fictional stories that just illustrate what the couple might be, you know, discussing, and then has activities and questions and biblical teaching that is very relevant. Like, she addresses the issue of leaving and cleaving, and the way that she does it is so relevant to some of the issues people have with how do I deal with my parents' influence or my in-laws' influence on my marriage.
So, Hannah, what is the significance of focusing on a ministry that satisfies Africa's thirst for resources and for literature? Because I know that that's something that OASIS stands for, satisfying Africa's thirst for God's word specifically. What is the significance of that pursuit instead of, say, trying to satisfy Africa's thirst for water or better, you know, medical attention or, you know, improvement in other areas? Why specifically focus on resources and on God's word?
Great question. There are quite a few ministries focusing on some of the physical aspects, but we've also seen that there's a lot of local church initiative that when people are discipled well, they can actually start addressing some of the issues in their communities. So, for example, one of the resources that we publish is based on the When Helping Hurts book, and it's basically facilitator's manual for seminars about leading communities into discovering what resources they have for themselves and how they can be good stewards of what God has given them, and a theology of work, and just seeing how instead of being dependent on handouts, God has placed something in them to transform their communities and to create flourishing in their context. So I think I don't want to disparage or devalue the work that people are doing to provide some of those physical needs. But I also think that, you know, one of the problems with the human heart is just the sinfulness and the need for redemption. And in the Genesis story, we see that when they sinned against God and began to blame each other, that's when now the toil of the ground and the thorns and the difficulty came in. And so our relationship with our environment was broken as a result of sin. And so I also think that when we align ourselves with God's will and God's purposes and his heart, we can start to see restoration in our environments and in our relationships as well.
What are some of the biggest challenges that OASIS faces as a ministry trying to do this work in Africa?
Well, globally right now, there has been a shipping crisis. So a lot of shipping prices have gone up and there have been a lot of delays. So many organizations are facing that. And of course, we distribute to hubs in Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, and South Africa, as well as the U.S. And so managing the logistics of all of those shipments and delays and so forth has been a little bit difficult. And of course, you know, there have been recent strikes in South Africa for some shipments. And, you know, you have to make sure that you're doing everything above board with the customs officials and stuff. So that can take some effort, but by God's grace, we've seen his faithfulness and we've been, you know, we just pray them all through.
So Hannah, do you find a lot of support in Africa for the work that you're doing? Are there a lot of people who want to sort of buy into this and support you, or is it a more difficult process?
People are very enthusiastic about the work we're doing. I'll give you an example. When I was in Ghana in July with an author who recently released his book, Stand Up for the Gospel. He is mentoring one of the endorsers of the book, invited us to the Trinity Theological Seminary and got together a group of his colleagues in various theological institutions around Accra. And at the end of the meeting, stood up and just said, here is why we all need to be publishing popular works for the church. This is my own story of when I was leaving a church and everyone was shaking hands and this old lady came up to me and said, have you written anything I can read?
Mm.
And although he's very widely published and academically respected, he realized it was time to publish something popular. And he was like, this is why you should work with Oasis. And it was just so exciting to see that he has this ownership over it and this passion for it and believes in our mission mm-hmm. and is willing to open up his networks and publish with us, hopefully. And it's not a vision that's kind of being coming from outside. It's one that's there. And when people see it, they're like, yes, this is something I need to be part of. How can I get involved? I'd love to work with you. I'd love to recommend someone to you. So we'd love to also have it be sustained by donations from African organizations and ministries. And that, I would say, is an area we're looking to expand more. So we want to see full ownership on the continent, both by sales, people buying copies, and also providing some donations for us to be able to continue providing these resources at an affordable price for some of the customers who aren't able to fully pay for their orders but have a great need. So that's an area we'd love to see more, but there is already a resonance.
That's very interesting that there's lots of support and people who want to buy into it, lots of enthusiasm from, I think, the author's perspective. How have you been navigating the challenges of the readers? Do you find that people are as hungry to buy and, you know, get these resources as Oasis and the authors are to print and produce them?
I'm mostly on the editorial side. That's why you're hearing most of my stories from that perspective. But we have found a lot of enthusiasm on the books that we're releasing and the Bibles. So we have a New Living Translation text Bible, which is a small, you know, you might think of the Good News Bibles size. And it has, you know, an easy readable translation that's also very well researched and biblically accurate. And then it at the back has a little mini version of the timeline that's in the Africa Study Bible. It talks about God's work in Africa across biblical times until the present, and just kind of having a way to see what that actually looks like and see yourself in the story of what God has been doing. And it's not just Western missionaries who were bringing the gospel to Africa a couple hundred years ago. No, this is something that Africans have been part of God's story from the very beginning. And a few other helpful resources in that Bible with book introductions and, you know, indexes and things like that. So we've been distributing those to school children and other ministry, and they have been so excited to have something that's a little more relevant, even though it's mostly just the text of the Bible. It has a few little things that can help them to understand what God's word is saying to them and begin to be excited about that.
Yeah, I think because that's such a beautiful aspect of the work that you are doing, that it is now removing that stigma that Christianity is, as they say, a white man's religion, or even just an Eastern religion, you know, that it really has touched Africa from the beginning and that now it can continue to do that. It's so exciting that that's a way that the ministry is encouraging African readers to want to get into the Bible and to actually see themselves as a part of it, as opposed to just recipients of it.
We have an exciting title called Africans in Africa in the Bible, and it's one of our bestsellers. And it's more of a a reference book. I mean, it's a short book, but you can kind of jump in at any point and just see, I'm reading this book of the Bible. Where are the Africans listed in this book of the Bible? Or, oh, who are the Egyptian people in the Bible who are mentioned? And so you can kind of use it that way. But people have been so excited about that book, and not just on the continent. I mean, we're getting sales in Australia, the UK, and all over the place. But this message that Christianity is not a white man's religion, and that Africa has had and always will have a place in God's mission, is so, people are so hungry for that. And so we're excited to be looking into a children's edition soon, because we just know how relevant that is. And even with the Africa Study Bible, which was kind of our flagship product, there's so much comparison and connection between cultural practices and proverbs and stories and different contextual issues that people are facing in Africa that are then linked to the biblical story. And that is just a way people, whenever they read it, are like, oh, wow, I see myself here. You know, this is speaking to me. We call it God's Word Through African Eyes. And there's been a deep resonance with it because it's written by by those many different contributors, but it also just, it's so refreshing after you've been used to hearing things that are kind of imported and so forth.
So we've spoken about the mission of Oasis and what we're trying to achieve, you know, in the continent, and not only for the African authors, but also for that African audience. So how practically does Oasis go about achieving its goals? What are the practical outreaches of the ministry?
Sure. So on the editorial side where I work, we get in touch with authors usually who have an established ministry, or they are a leader in their contexts. They are somebody who's written a PhD on the subject. They've been doing this ministry for 20 years and want to expand their network. They have a successful social media platform and are ready to kind of put something more permanent out there. So somebody who's kind of known and has a reputation for speaking on their subject will come to us, and or we'll find them at, you know, online or at a conference or through recommendation or whatever. And sometimes they'll just find our website and we'll work with them. Either they have maybe a draft or self-published book, and we can say, all right, how can we kind of take this to the next level for you and get it beyond your country, get it to the rest of the continent, get it into ebooks and get it to the rest of the world. Or we'll say, okay, you have your ministry or you have your dissertation. What book would you like to write, and how can we coach you through that process into creating a book that will meet these needs and be readable for a lot of people and so forth. So that's kind of the publishing side. And then on the sales and marketing side, we will approach various ministries for partnerships. We have hubs in, like I said, Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, South Africa, and the U.S. And then from those hubs, we'll distribute out to the rest of those regions. And so we have a sales rep in West, East, and Southern Africa each, doing their regions and partnerships and so forth to see what groups and bookstores and organizations and so forth would be interested in carrying our titles. Also are publishing the Africa Study Bible in French. And so we are having a small but growing list of French titles to be able to start reaching out to Francophone Africa. And the French version is called La Bible d'étude perspective africaine.
So why do you think authors want to get involved with this? What do you think it is that Oasis offers an author versus something like self-publishing?
For one thing, there's not an upfront capital cost. So self-publishing, you pay for every service. We're more of a traditional publisher where we will do all those services and that's our investment in the book. And then we offer a royalty to our authors. So it's great when people don't have just money to, you know, pay for all the services and then buy all the books that are going to sit in your house until you sell them all. And you try and buy at a, you know, a large quantity so you get the best discount. And then you have all this money just, you know, sitting there. Plus, you don't have to deal with all the logistics. So you don't have to find your editor. You don't have to deal with your shipping. You don't have to, you know, basically learn the whole business of publishing just to get your one book out. So it's, it saves so much time, hassle, and money for authors. And then they still get copies at just a little bit above our manufacturing costs so that they can sell them at that full profit margin to earn back some of the time that they spent on the book. So it's basically the best of both worlds, where you still get cheap copies that you can sell within your ministry networks, and then we go and sell to our bookstores and so forth and do some of the marketing and so forth. And then you still get a royalty from that and you get the margin from the others. Mm. So I would say that's probably the first thing that the author thinks of. But the second thing that's different about us is we will work with authors to bring their manuscript to a high quality that will meet international standards. I'm very passionate about this. When you go into a bookstore and you find that self-published book by an African author, you look at the cover, you see some typos in there, and you're just like, ugh, this isn't a good book. Mm-hmm. And I'm so tired of people dismissing African authors simply because they don't have access to high quality publishing services. An American author may produce just as many typos and have the same writing level as an African author, but you would never know because if they were traditionally published, they would have had somebody with a professional expertise in editing to make them look good. Mm-hmm. And I think that our African authors deserve the same dignity. To have their voice be respected and taken seriously, when it's just a matter of getting the same services that other publishers would offer in other contexts. And then when we see that book with that beautiful cover and that, you know, amazing message and so forth, their message will be able to impact so many more lives. And we'll have a dignity and pride in, oh yeah, these are African authors and they have something to say to the world. Mm-hmm. So we take people through, we give them all those professional services, and then we also coach them through, you know, who is your audience? How can we make this more relevant? Do we need to add more illustrations? Have you considered this theological objection to your argument? What if we added another chapter on this and so forth? And this is done with the input of our publishing advisory board, which is a group of theological experts, subject matter experts, booksellers, and so forth from across the continent, so we can find out that it's relevant to and going to sell well and so forth in various contexts. And so we give people that level of investment and feedback because we want to create these really quality books that the authors can be very proud of and that can kind of represent a new face to the world of what Africa has to say to the church.